Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord our God and King, and I thank Him for being with us. The Lord is with us today, and He's mightily with us. God loves His people, and I love our God. I love Jesus Christ. I love the Father who sent Him, and I love the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. Today is November the 11th. It's a Thursday. Happens to be Veterans Day. Thank God for all veterans. You know, people that put themselves in harm's way for the sake of our country, that's a noble thing to do. It's not easy. And there are people who were afraid in war, but they did it anyway. They did what they had to do anyway. It's a shame that we have to go to war, but we do when there's evil around. And I thank God that He's at war with evil. And He's at war with pride, which causes war. Now, the Lord loves His people, and He's doing remarkable things in the lives of those who trust Him. And like I said in the last few broadcasts, how the Lord has a living protocol. There's a death protocol to those that love pride. And then there's a living protocol to those who keep covenant with God. They're in agreement with what Jesus have done. They're in agreement with salvation. Excuse me. And I thank God for that. The Lord has to work through holy men and women of God. When you study the books of Joshua and Judges, and then the Kings and Samuel, first and second Samuel, first and second Chronicles, Satan is always trying to get God's people off track. He's trying to keep God's people unaware of God's goodness through their lust for evil. And the culture of the day was demonology, basically. You know, when the angels married the daughters of men and had offspring, they were evil. They became evil spirits when they died. And they commanded worship, and they put out there a pride-based religion. You got to work for my affection. Now, their thoughts and deeds didn't just evaporate. It transferred from culture to culture. The Word of God reveals the heart of God, and He is nothing like the old ancient religions, which was based on demonology. You had to merit, you know, it's nothing for Satan to lie against God. He lies on God. He loves to lie. And if they wanted rain, they did rituals. If they wanted a blessed crop, they did rituals. When they sacrificed their children to idol gods, there were demonic spirits behind it. And they thought if they do these sacrifices, it will work. And then, you know, I was talking to my buddy Reuben. He said when the protocols of God was life, but they had to stay pure. They had to stay clean. They had to observe the law. And it was not easy in that culture. But see, the religions around them, they could eat what they wanted to. They could eat a pig if they wanted to. They could eat, and Satan would make it look delicious. You know, whatever they did, they could have fun. They could have sex. They could do whatever they wanted to do. But the demons wanted them to sacrifice their children to what they call God. Ashtaroth and Molech and foolishness like that. These things never did anything for anybody. It was just a dead persuasion that men fell for. When Jeroboam became king, he fled Solomon, went to Egypt, learned witchcraft, and came back. Through his fear, he put a golden calf in Bethel and another one in Dan, north in Dan. And see, the people would go to these places. Instead of going to the temple, since the king said do this, they did it. They did it, but not just because the king said to do it. They did it because they wanted to. That's why. But there are always people that don't bow their knee to Baal when everybody else is doing stupid stuff. They stay clean. But men of pride will always hear lies because they already want to do wrong anyway. Now, the problem is the perceptions of old, they transferred. It's in our culture. Pride is in our culture. It's even among men of God. That's why the Lord had me to say this. It's a secret. Sometimes when people are in pride, they get offended against those that do better. See, Paul said that it's not wise to compare yourself with others. Everybody that God created, he created them to do something specific. And when it comes down to you, you got to do what he said do. It's gonna whatever you do for God, it's going to end up looking good because you've entered into the realm of success. But our success is not of us, it's of him. It's a grace. It was given. The anointing is given. The callings that God give us, they're given. And every calling has its own protocol. There's no reason to be offended against somebody because they may have what people would consider to be a higher calling, like a prophet. Some pastors get upset with people because they are prophets, and then their prophecy come to pass. And they want to prophesy, but God didn't give them that. He gave them something else. You have to work with what God gave you. And at the end of the day, if you knew all the protocols they had, you wouldn't want it anyway. But when you want to do it, and God gave it to you, now you're in agreement. And it's going to be effective. Now understand this. The protocols of an apostle is different than the protocols of a teacher. The teacher was last. Apostles was put first. The office of an apostle, God can use the apostle to do every one of the fivefold ministry categories. But because he is called to that office, he can't stay in those other offices. He can only, you know, Paul told Timothy, which was an apostle. Timothy was an apostle too. He said, that's why he told him to do the work of an evangelist, because he is an apostle. He was just younger than Paul. But he also had to tell him, don't let people despise your youth. In other words, when people get offended because you're much younger, do what God said do anyway. Let the leaven of Cain jealousy stop you. Do what God said do anyway. Make your calling and election sure. And this is very important for everybody. Remember something. You may not have what people would consider the top of calling or whatever. It's not a slight against you if God called you to be a teacher rather than a pastor or an apostle or an evangelist. Whatever God gave you, use it to the glory of God. And remember something. If a teacher teach right, if he teach what God give him, he's going to be strategic. And apostles are going to come out of his ministry. If an apostle do his job, teachers are going to come out of his ministry. There's no reason. I went to two extremes, the first and then the last, the least of the calling, what people would say least. But see, when the Holy Ghost is involved, it's a purpose that you're fulfilling. A good pastor, which is needed, you know, sometimes God won't do a revival because there's not enough pastors to help the people grow up. And the people will revert back to nothing and be worse than they were before. See, we have in America, we have the thought if you just get saved, you're going to be all right. Well, if you get saved and stay in the life of God and don't go into the death of the world, yeah, you'll be fine. But pastors are needed to give people the right understanding so that they'll be. See, people, we bear fruit after our type. If a tare teach is over a church, it's going to be a haywire church. It's going to be satanic. unless people look to the Lord and not the pastor, or that happens to be a tare or a wolf, God forbid. People bear fruit after their type. I thank God for the Holy Spirit who rescue us out of the mess that people get into. Since we can't tell that there's tares and wolves and such, we can't tell a tare from the wheat of our own accord. We have to, or out of our own wisdom, we have to depend on the Lord. So sometimes the Lord will let them get in gross sin so it'll be obvious that they're not of us. When that happens for you, don't run behind them anymore. Go find you a real pastor. That's very important. And also, when you find what you believe to be a lie, stick with the truth. Cling to the truth. Because it's very important. You got to give an account for what you teach. James said that. Let us give the more earnest heed to the things that we teach. Because you understand, he's pointing out that you're going to be punished for teaching wrong. We need to be doing it God's way. We have to follow God in order to do all these wonderful things. But culture, people that come out of this culture, there's not much talk against the subtleties of the enemy. And I want to make it plain, the Lord's been dealing with this now. Years ago, I kept running into Cain jealousy. I was young, of course. I was 25 when the Lord called me to the ministry. And I was, I was just a young man, so I just wanted to serve God. But some people didn't see it that way. They looked at me as a threat. I'm not just idly saying that. The Lord gave me a dream and showed me that. Okay, Lord, I'll give him the dream. I used to ask the Lord, I'm going to step aside and show you something. I'm going to give you the dream that God gave me. I'm going to share it with you. I don't normally share it. I share it to very few people, but I'm going to share it now because he told me to. I used to ask the Lord about other planets. Life on other planets, UFOs, all of it. I'd ask God anything in them days, and I still do. But I said, Lord, when I first asked him about life, well, before I did, a guy named James did. He said, Lord, did you make life on other planets? And the Lord told him, yes, but they're not like you. So about a year or so went by, and I started asking him about it. And the Lord told me some things about our solar system. And I said, Lord, I want to see another planet. I want to see it. I want you to give me a vision of it. Some time happened. Months went by. And this was around 94 when this happened. I said, Lord, he came to me. He said, do you want to see? He said, when I show you what's on other planets. Well, before that, he said, are you ready to see what I have on other planets? I said, yes, without even hesitating. Then I thought about it. He's about to show me something I've never seen. I thought he was going to show me right then. And I got afraid. I really did. I said, how am I going to react? I mean, I was afraid. I'm in his presence, but I was still afraid. I said, Lord, I want to see it. I was shaking. I'll never forget that. I'm in my garage when I lived at 4620 in the Woodlawn area. Right there where the gunfights used to happen. that's just an aside. But anyway, I said, I want to see it. And he said, when I show you, he said three things. Notice how they love each other. Notice how they work together. Notice the success they share. That gave me a word picture. And he taught me some things. You know, he didn't just show me right then. Some time went by. And one night, I was asleep. And I was on a planet. Now, it looked like Earth. In fact, it looked like an African plane with that 2 or 3 foot tall grass, you know, the sawgrass, I guess that's what it is. And I was in the Army, and I had a Jeep. I was like a captain, and I had some men under me. And we had a Jeep with a 50 caliber machine gun on the turret, on the it was in the back, and a man could stand there and fire or something. It was mounted on the Jeep like a World War II Jeep or a North, you know, Korean War type Jeep. Nevertheless, it was before the Humvees. It was just before the, you know, I didn't know nothing about Humvees in them days. But in the distance, I saw what looked like four leopards. And that was nothing. I said, oh, there's leopards out there. We had the guns. I wasn't afraid of no leopard. Then they got closer. And I saw that they were not leopards. They were spiders the size of a car. Now, they hopped in the grass. From a distance, they looked like leopards hopping over that tall grass. But as they got, and it didn't take long for them to get closer because they were spiders. They had two legs working together to look like four. But when they got close enough, they were spiders. The size of a car. And I ordered my men to shoot them. The first one, he moved so fast, my eyes couldn't count it. Another one, one of them webbed our weapons, made them useless. Never saw him. It happened so fast. And the last one slowed down and passed by us slowly. He was striding. He was running, but slower that we could see him. And he slowed down enough to see. We saw his body. It was beautiful. His skin was so beautiful. It was a yellowish-orange color. Had black in it, about like a leopard almost, but different. His skin was something I'd never seen before. It was beautiful. I don't know if it was skin or what it was, but it was beautiful. It had ridges in it, and it was beautiful. And I looked at his face, but I couldn't see his face for the glory of God. And I felt the love of God come from this being, this spider. A spider now, the size of a car. This huge spider loved me, and they wouldn't have hurt me for anything. They were holy. They were not a threat. On earth, spiders look fierce. We kill them. But these were beautiful, up close. And you could sense the love of God from them. That's how I know it was of God. I looked at his face, I just saw the glory of God around his face area. Just like Moses described. And then I woke up. Now the Lord had explained to me that he cloaked their world to look like ours. Because their world don't look like ours. But I didn't need to see that. He explained it to me. Wherever there are people that's holy, just like our earth, our earth responds to what we do on it. And it looks like what we do on it, good and bad. So if there's a world where there's never no any sin, it's going to be much, much more beautiful. And the Lord need me to have my mind on this earth. So every time he showed me something like that, it's cloaked. He told me he cloaked their realm so I couldn't see it. I just saw them. And I had enough to get the point that I'm going to make. When I woke up, I understood. Just like I saw the spiders as a threat that loved me, pastors saw me as a threat. And I loved them. Now, if they talked to me, they could sense that I loved them. And my message loved them. With the word that God gave me, the warnings God gave me, was his love towards them. And they could sense it. They knew it. So I had to work with, he gave me something, a visual, to that I could understand the situation that I was in. See, I didn't understand what was going on. I expected the pastors to just receive the word and do it. And some people were more receptive than others. I had very little success, of my opinion anyway. But I know I didn't see the things that God showed me what happened if they followed him. I hadn't seen much of that. And that bothered me more than anything. But then there were those who snub you. They get offended. They cut you short. You can't finish a thought, you know. Now, I say that to say this. Those that saw me as a threat, even though I love them, I saw the spiders as a threat. I was in their position. Now I can understand why they acted the way they did. But for a few years, I didn't understand that. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I thought I did something wrong. Now, here's the problem. The Lord can't build on pride. In some people, there are residuals of pride. Just like the men of Ephraim, they were offended at Gideon because they were left out of the war. They didn't even get to go with the 30,000, the first 30,000 that he had. He left them out. They knew about it, but they didn't come, and he didn't call them. But after Gideon won such a battle, they were offended against him. To the point he asked them, why are you offended to me? You the one who got Oreb and Zeeb. What's that compared to what I did? And then they were all right. Now, a few generations later, here comes Jephthah. He won a great war against the Amorites. And then in chapter 12, here come the Ephraimites want to kill him and burn his house down. The man already lost his daughter because of his vow. Then they still wanted to kill him. And they started a war with him. And the Lord gave Jephthah victory over them. Now, what am I saying? The pride that was there in the days of Gideon, it multiplied a few generations later. And they wanted revenge. They hated Jephthah because his victory provoked their pride. I never understood why would they come and fight somebody that gave them victory over the enemy? Let me say something here. Pride loves the world more than it loves God. If you try to serve God with pride in your heart, that's like trying to go to war with Satan and you think like Satan or you agree with him. You can't fight him right. And you can't serve God right if you agree with the enemy somewhere. So what's happening is the pride that people don't deal with, the enemy is using it against them, and the Lord can't anoint them to do greater things than they've already done. Now, understand, this is not a slight against people. I love God's people. God loves his people. But he has to work with us. He cannot build on pride. That's a sandy foundation. It's a false course. If it's not dealt with, or if it's dealt with in part but not enough, people can't grow correctly. And it'll get into the crowd, and once it does, it's there. And there's a whole crop of people God can't pour his anointing on like he wants to. The anointing will be up to the point that they can't do danger. Now, let me give you some scriptures. There's a lot of ways, when you see to the pure, everybody's pure. To the froward, everybody. People are froward, you know. But that's not it. To the pure, everybody's pure. That's First Titus. But to those that are wicked and defiled, nothing's pure. All right. So when I used to go in the Lord's presence and pray. And I thought that I thought others did the same thing, especially those that went in God's, that were preaching God's word. When you're anointed, You have God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. And God will give you what you need because of the anointing. But before God anointed me, I would go in the prayer room and ask questions. I would pray and sometimes labor before the Lord, sometimes just stay in the Lord's presence and listen. And I learned so much from that. And he taught me in a way that I would be pure. When he taught me to love people, that drove out fear, which also drove out pride, because pride and fear, they're connected. Anybody that you notice getting pride, they always get in fear. Anybody that get in fear too much, they in pride too. There's pride there too. It's just like faith and love. If you got faith, you got love. If you got love, you got faith. If you got fear, you got pride. If you got pride, you got fear. It's the same thing. And when God asked me what he did about seeing other planets, I was afraid, because that was more like the fear of the Lord, though. I said, God's going to show me something, and I ain't ready. I don't know if I'm ready for this yet. I said I was before I thought about it. As I stood there nervous, I said, well, I want to see it anyway. Anyway, well, when it came to pride is something that just falls off your life. The more you love, the more you live. That's just how it works. And I had to, in the beginning, I had to make myself obey God. I didn't have the courage to do that. But as God gave me what to go on, when he gave me a word and I saw how important it was, I said, this is important. I got to do this. Now, in Job, I love the wisdom of Job and his friends. Satan was so focused on trying to get Job to curse God and die. And they were revealing knowledge to us that's far beyond our years. See, Satan don't think he's clumsy. He should have known how wise these guys was, and their dialogue would be a blessing to us. But he didn't think that it would be written down and given to us. See, when you pick a fight with God, God is the advantage. It's just dumb to do that anyway. So, if you look at this objectively, Job chapter 33, very important verse. Let's see who's talking. This was Eliphaz. It had to be Eliphaz talking. In chapter 32, it says, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Not Eliphaz, but Elihu. Elihu was talking, but listen at the words of this young man. He was younger than they were. He was younger than Job, and Job was much younger than his friends. His friends were older than his father. They were more like the age of his, they were older than Issachar. Issachar was Job's father. Now, I'm going to start at verse, put my glasses on, Job 33 and 14. Now, this is a scripture that I was alerted to by Tom Horn, listening to his testimony. It says, I started verse 12. It says, behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why doest thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceives it not. Now watch this. Verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword, because he hid pride from men. That's verse 18. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones. I'm going to keep going. Tom Horn stopped at verse 18. But there's a lesson in this. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near to the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show him, unto man, his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. That's Jesus. But it's prophesied. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh unto man, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, because he repented, and his life shall see light. Lo, these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will teach thee wisdom. Now God showed Tom Horn the future, but he sealed it from him, and then he revealed it as he needed, in order, according to verse 17, that he may withdraw, verse 16, that he...